Hallelujah. We give God glory for all things, right?
Yes.
Connie, what did I do with my little book? Huh? Strange place to put it. Hallelujah. Once again, we do welcome. We'll try to get you out of here by 3. Now, anything before 3, they're going to be glad, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Once again, the kiddos, if you've got them dressed up, make sure you get with the photographer to get their pictures taken quickly. Then just let them rip. That's what I'd want to do if I was a kid, right? Praise the Lord. Y'all want to hear from the Lord this morning?
Yeah.
I do too. And the only way we can do that is to get in it, right? Get in it. Praise the Lord. Father, this is your day. These are your people. I heard them singing and saying they were hungering and thirsting for you. Give them what they desire and more this morning. Don't just give them what they desire. Your desire for us is far beyond anything that we've ever thought or asked. So give us your desire this morning. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. I want to give you a little introduction to the message. And then we're going to dedicate a baby. And then we're going to use that message. I hope the parents hear the message for the baby and for themselves. I try to do that. Today is our 7th birthday. That is what we're going to do, is enter into the Sabbath rest of God's ministry. That's what the Sabbath is, the 7th day. The work has been done. The challenges have been completed. And now we move on in peace. It doesn't mean we stop and lay down, but we move on in peace. That's what we've talked about before, and this is the day we began. Hopefully we've already began a little bit, but we fudged. It's kind of like vacation. You start thinking about vacation before you go, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The title of the message this morning is A Beginning is an Ending. A beginning is an ending. Try to remember that. A beginning is an ending. If you'll remember, our key verse that we've been using is Jeremiah 29:11. We've been reading it in the New King James, Jeremiah 29:11. It's, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says God, thoughts of peace and not of evil, but to give you a future and a hope." Now I'm going to read it in the King James because I want 2 words out of the King James. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I don't know, do we? Okay. My wife says we need to dismiss the children to children's church. I'm always a little selfish. I think they'll receive more in here, but I don't know. You children, enjoy. Make that teacher teach you some word. The Lord says, "I want to give you an expected end." Did you get that? Now, I'm going to go into this more in just a little bit, but I want to ask you something this morning. How many of you planned to be here? Obviously, you got your expected plan, right? Would you have gotten here if you hadn't planned to? I'll ask you again. Would you be here if you hadn't planned to be here? All right. Now we can either quit here or we can go deeper, because you already got the idea. I want to do the baby dedication now. Is that okay with y'all? We've got 2 fine parents and probably some pretty good grandparents that want to see the baby dedicated. I want to see that. How about y'all? I know that God does. Praise the Lord. Y'all want to step up in any way, shape, form, or fashion you want to. It's your baby. It's your day. This is Joe and Shanna Rodriguez. I know they consider this to be a gift from God. You do that, don't you? I'll hold that little one up and... Yeah. This is David Jacob. Rodriguez. David Jacob. He's got a couple of fine names. Come on, y'all give him a hand. This is worth an applause. Uh-oh, got his attention too. The grandparents, Steve and Julie Bundra. Are y'all kin to this? Are you? You proud of him? I'm not going to talk about it, but they are. They are. What we want to do is come into agreement with them to give this baby to God. That's what y'all want, right? You want to give him to God? Praise God. First fruits, that's what we're supposed to give. You know that? You know what that is? That's the very best of the very best you have. God doesn't want tithe. He wants first fruits and then tithe. He wants the very best that you've got, and that's what they want to give this morning. For that, we can be proud. Why do they want to dedicate the child to God? Why would you want to do that? He gave him to you? I want to suggest to you that the reason that you want to dedicate this baby to God is for an expected end. See, because I read to you that God's thoughts for this baby and for all of you are this, that His thoughts are higher than yours, His ways are greater than yours, His desires for this child and for all of you are greater than yours. And what we need to do is come to the point where this baby being given to God is going to get God's expected end, not ours. You know, when we look at a child, we say, oh, I want that child to grow up and be a good big boy, and I want him to do this, and I want him to do that, and I want him to go to college, and I want him to make a lot of money. And all of that's fine and dandy. And that's how we get things started. But the greatest thing we can do is accept God's expected end for a child's life. And ours. I want you all to get into that soon. You act a little melancholy. Is there something I can do for you? Do we need to serve mixed drinks or something to make you all happy? I mean, we're in the presence of God here, guys. You can put a smile on your face and get happy.
I'll just get them all.
Oh, my. Well, we can do that, too. Hallelujah. Let's just say again what God would say over this child, this family. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Our job today is to try to convey to you and this family what God's thoughts are about you. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you an expected end. Do we think that God would be so short-sighted to give life without direction? If you do, you must be one of those people that believe in the Big Bang theory or the evolutional theory. I believe in the God theory, the creationist. And I believe that God created this little one and this family and these grandparents and this family. And I believe He did that with an expected end. And the only way we're going to get that expected end out of this child is to give it back to God. Right. Say, okay, God, not my end that's important, it's yours. It's not my design, but it's yours. Here's the cool part. He gave you the beginning and then gave you the ability to choose the end. And I'll go on in this a little further, but the Bible says choose you this day. Life or death, blessings or curses. So that the expected end is chosen by us, not by fate. Not where we were born or how we were born. And we must trust God in this to get that end. The scripture that I quoted to you is Deuteronomy 30:15. It says, see, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. You know, you hold that in your hand. You don't just hold a baby. You have the choice of the future of that baby. The best thing you can do is give the choice to God and you cooperate with God in the rearing. Is it all up to their ability? Parents, can I encourage you about something? And I need to... See, one of the things that you find out when you're a grandparent, other things, there's a lot of things. You find out, I wish I'd have done it a lot different. But one of the things that you find out... Can I insult you just a second? Just let me one insult. They don't know a thing about what they're doing. Come on, y'all been parents before. Your kids are gone. You already know what I'm saying. You have the slightest idea what you're doing. So we cannot say to these parents, the whole future of this child is up to you. Because that's too much to handle. A lot of people take that on themselves and they fail and then they live with that the rest of their lives. I'm telling you that God is the one that will guarantee you the ending of this child if you'll give this child to them, if you'll give yourselves to God. I promise you the child will turn out okay, good, better than good, if you guys will do your part. Give yourselves to God, give your children to God. Then it's all up to Him. Amen? I know they have. You may not believe that, but I do. Matthew 7:11 says this, or 7:7-11. To you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Decide what you want for this child and ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? If your child was hungry and he was asking for food, would you give him a rock? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Amen. I mean, you need to put that in your room, put it in their room. Matthew 7:7-11. If you know how to ask good things, trust me, God knows how to give you better things. Amen? Can I ask all of you this? How many of you pray? Do you ask God for things? Why would you do that if you didn't expect an answer? Why would you waste your time doing that if you didn't think there was an expected end to your answer? You plan for the child? Then you must have a plan about his future. Right? If not, you need to get one. And if it's not yours, so be it. Let it be God's. It's even better. Amen? Here's what we want to do. I want to give this child to God this morning. I'm going to ask you all to give yourself to God later on. But right now, we're going to give this child to God. In agreement with the parents and the grandparents, we're going to place him in the arms of God. And I want to say this to you. You need to put him in the arms of God. Your children too. So that when things come up that are totally out of your control, and they will, it will not all be up to you. You understand what I'm saying? Because I mean the weight of three lives in your hand and it's all up to you is more than you can handle. I'm not talking about just emotionally. I mean it's beyond what you can do. That's another advantage of being a grandparent is you understand how in the world we ever get here. God gets bigger as you get older. He gets smarter as you get older. Hallelujah. He's excited with my message. Can we pray right quick? Yeah. Sometimes they like that, sometimes they don't. I don't know. We'll find out. If I can love and kiss, how much more the Father? Fathers, we stand in awe with a new life in our hand. I thank you, Lord, that you teach us that you love. That you can love far beyond any love that we can ever experience. We give this before he gives us fits. We give this child to you, Lord. We give him with all faith, with all integrity, with all future. We receive unto... He's crying out to you, Lord. Give him what he needs. Give him a life and an expected end, Lord. Yes. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give him in agreement with the parents and the grandparents. We bless him in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We baptize him, anoint him, treasure him, and give ourselves to this family that if you ever need anything, you call. We'll be there. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, this is a man of God. Hallelujah. Everybody agree that in Jesus' name, this is a man of God? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. That may upset some. It doesn't upset me. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what this is. Can I tell you what this is? This is a key to a kingdom. If you truly believe this is a man of God, then this is also a key to the kingdom. The Bible says in Matthew 16:19 that He gives us keys to the kingdom of heaven. Do you know that? And He says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And I don't recommend that you do that to your child. But it does say, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Have you truly given that to God? Loosed Him. Then He's loosed on this earth to be a key in the kingdom of God. You all agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. Then praise the Lord. Father, once again, you heard the response of the parents. I know the response of the grandparents. I don't even have to ask. He's yours. We're yours. Use us for your honor, for your glory. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all give them a hand.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What an honor. What an honor. Do you understand that I just was able to participate in something that goes far beyond my life?
Yep.
Far beyond the grandparents and the parents' life. What we did is for eternity. Hallelujah. Now let's keep moving. We're in the third, it's about the fourth, but I think the third Sunday. It's the fourth part of a series about knowing your God. For those of you that have not been able to participate, I recommend, what are the dates? Let me look at the dates. The dates are 8:21, 8:25, and 9:01. 8:21, 8:25, and 9:01. That's the dates on tapes that you should get. They're good. They're good. This is a good thing God's doing. God wants us to know if, or asks us if we know Him. And how do we know Him? Remember? How do you know Him? Do you know Him as one to be afraid of? One to worry about? One to worry if He can do what He says He's going to do? Or do you know Him to be the one that never lies?
Right.
And that His thoughts are good for you and towards you? It's a simple choice today. We have to make a decision. He's a good God or a bad God? Reliable one or unreliable? So that when we talk about the expected end, we're talking about an expected good end.
Yes.
And when we're talking about the end, we're not talking about the end of your life. We're talking about the end of the next breath, the end of the next moment, the end of the next minute, day. You telling me, Stan, that you can expect something good out of every day? No, I told you you can expect something good out of every minute of every day.
Yes.
That's what I told you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'm going to give you the definition of an expected end. Y'all need to get you a piece of paper ready, turn that bulletin over and get you a pen. Because I'll probably read some scriptures pretty fast today. And I don't know if you can turn as fast as I can maneuver here. The definition of an expected end. The word is tikvah in the Hebrew. The very definition, listen to me, I try to draw you a verbal picture. It is a rope or a cord that's twisted for strength that connects the beginning and the end. An expected end, once again, picture this, is a rope, a cord that's twisted for strength that connects the beginning and the end. You remember what my title was? What was the title of my message? The beginning is an ending. Why? I just told you why. They're tied together. Every time you decide to make a beginning, you surely have an end in mind. Or you wouldn't begin, would you? Jeff? Chuck? You ever start a house and figure to stop in the middle? You had an end in mind, did you not? When you started for church this morning, did you figure that you were only going to make it halfway? I'm afraid in our Christian lives, a lot of us spend our time thinking things halfway through. Therefore, we never get to an end. God's word to you is, God says, when I say you're going to have an expected end, I'm tying it to whatever beginning that's in my mind and also to the beginnings that are in your mind. How do you do that? Through the Word of God. You learn God's Word and you're going to find out how to begin things and expect an end. That's God's design. That's God's desire. A cord or a rope that binds us together to an outcome. What is the word for? Do you think a word is just to get you excited this morning? You think preaching is to get you excited? Baloney. It's to bring you to an end. When God speaks, when Jesus died on the cross, when He recreated the earth, it was to get you to an end, not to a beginning. Man, if it wasn't for that, the best thing for Him to do for us is just kill us the minute we get saved. Get us out of the way. God said in His Word that He has designed for us a great ending. Now my question to you is, do you trust God? Do you trust Him to take you probably a place that you didn't want to go? Now that was a trick question and y'all just fell into that. Y'all need to worry. For those of you that don't know me well, think about the question before you answer it. I trust God. I trust Him enough that my answer is yes before the question is asked. Always yes by faith. Yes by faith. Always yes by faith. That covers me, doesn't it? Do you think that you might have a better plan than God has? Come on now. I've been around some of y'all. I've watched some of your decisions. Some of them you don't even ask God. Let me tell you what flesh does. Flesh says this: I always have a better way than anybody else. Come on. Your flesh says, I always have a way better than anybody else. And you know what? Anybody else, that includes God. We don't think that, but that's the outcome. You run into people all the time that are confused about life. There's a lot of questions. They're full of questions. I mean, they're just loaded with questions because they can't ever arrive to at least one answer. Can I remind you of something? If you can get this answer down, you've got the answer to all of life. God is good. I promise you, if you can get this one down, you got the answer to everything that comes up. God is good and He's for me. God is good and He's for me. Come on, y'all. You can even mumble that to yourself because it'll just make you feel better right now. It really will. To have an expected end, you must know your God. And you must know that He is good. And you must know that He wants the very, very best for you. You must also know this. It takes work on your part. Ooh. I didn't hear a lot of amens on that. It takes work on your part. There you go. Have you ever said to yourself, this is just what I expected to happen? Come on, don't make me make tapes of y'all conversation. That's just what I expected. See, real smart Christians, we would back up on that. We'd look and see what they got so we'd know what they expected. Remember about last week when I talked about signs following? This is just what I expected. How about, that's just what I was afraid would happen. That's just what I was afraid would happen. Well, we know what you're believing. When we expect to receive, when we expect, we receive, because that's our plan. When we expect, we receive, because that's our plan. See, some of y'all think you're retired and you don't have a plan. Oh, you got a plan. You understand no plan is a plan? See, no plan is a no harvest. No plan is a no blessing. We'll get into that in just a second. Most of you know that before I began, when I moved to Denver, I was farming. And in farming, everything happens because you planned 1 year in advance. Come on, for y'all that are looking for your next paycheck, I got something to tell you. There's other life out there. Don't plan on a paycheck. Get a longer-term plan than that. I get paid once a year. You know how it turned out? You know how that happened? Because I planned to get paid once a year. You know why you only make it to the next paycheck? Because that's what you plan to do. You have no other plans than to make it to your next paycheck. Here's how I got my paycheck. Here's how I got my expected in. Did you know that I had to see the harvest before I planted it? Come on, y'all. Every cook in here, you see a finished product before you start. When you take your suit out of the closet, you see yourself dressed before you even take the suit out of the closet. Man, we are built to be forward thinkers. Do you guys know you're a bunch of predators? You know how I know that? Because God made your eyes right here, not here. If you were to be eaten, your eyes would be out the side. If you are an eater, they come out the front. That's nature. Come on, y'all. Y'all just think about the animal kingdom and you'll understand. If your eyes are here, you're the predator. You're the one that does the eating. You're not the one that's eaten. If they're out here, you're the defender. You're the ones always covering your hiney because somebody's after it. Are y'all dead? I'm telling you that there's some promises out there. You guys are built to go after them.
Right.
You are built to consume, not to be consumed.
Yeah.
When I had a Winford harvest, I chose the ground. Let me tell you something. I want you to think about this. If you want anything from God, if you want an expected end out of anything that you do, you listen to what I'm saying. I chose the ground. Why? Because I've got to plant somewhere. If I'm going to plant somewhere, I've got to choose where I'm going to plant it. I chose the ground. I broke the ground. Oh, I thought you just went out there and scattered seed. That's what you get for thinking. You listen to me. This is the way it works. I'm telling you, in your spiritual life and your physical life, you've got to break the ground where you want to harvest. You've got to break it. Well, that sounds like work. Welcome to the real world. Yeah, I'm not the television preacher that says if you'll give me a dollar, you're going to get rich. I'm telling you, if you work, you're going to get rich. Rich in spirit, rich in mind, rich in family, rich in tradition, rich in heritage, rich in being a good man, honest, good man or woman. I broke the ground. I cleaned the ground of unwanted growth. Can I tell you something? There's not anything in your life that there's not some unwanted growth. Are you listening? Come on. Don't make me come to your house and look. I cleaned the ground of unwanted growth. I prepared the ground to receive and to hold moisture. That's just too much work. Do you want to harvest? I prepared the ground. I cleaned it and I prepared it so it would be fluffy. Y'all know the parable about the good soil, the bad soil, the stony soil? You remember that? God knew what He's talking about. You get that seed bed ready. I kept the ground clean until the water was there. Then I planted the seed. Oh, you can just fling it out there. There's no flinging in God's kingdom. There's no flinging. You got to know exactly how much topsoil has to cover that. And if it's not right, you lose your harvest. You got to be good at what you plant. How do you get good? You talk to God. It's His expected end, is it not? He's the one that's in charge of giving you instructions. You got to put that seed at the right depth in the right place. Then you water the seed. Then you cultivate. Why do you cultivate? To get only what you want to harvest. Are you hearing me? Just because you plant a seed, that don't mean that's the only thing you're going to get. There's tares out there, the Bible says. What's a tare? That's something that wants to come up right where you planted and take away your harvest. Down there in South Texas one time, this farmer got arrested. Some enemy. He planted a cotton crop. And out there the enemy had come and pulled up the cotton plants and put marijuana plants. Just in certain places. Because it just happens to be that that family's close. You didn't know that, did you? The family, the cotton family, and the marijuana family are very close. So the same herbicides that work on cotton work on marijuana. And if you plant them in the right way, the way it grows, they grow the same way. And one of the guys out there, unless you know what you're looking for, you really can't see the difference for a while. It's pretty obvious that when there's no cotton, it wasn't a cotton plant. But now I'm going to tell you, what did I tell you that for? Because the enemy is good about substituting a plant that you've planted. If you're not on the ball, you better know what's coming up. You better watch your crop. Next thing you know, if not, you liable to end up getting in trouble for raising something you didn't want. Man, the enemy's good at deceiving. That farmer was deceived. He didn't notice it when he's going down to the cultivator. You put fertilizer where the plant is. You don't fertilize every place. Doesn't do any good to fertilize the road. If you've got a root width of about 6 inches, what good does it do to put it at 12? You've got to be detailed. What are you talking about, Stan? I'm talking about how you get an expected end. It isn't easy, it's work, but it's sure. Do you know the difference between easy and sure? Easy is never sure. Sure is never easy. Guess what else I did? I watered and I cultivated and I watered and I cultivated and I watered and I cultivated. Well, didn't you get tired? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd rather be like most of us. I'd rather be able to go, here, seed. Well, there's my harvest. It just doesn't work that way. Can I tell you in the Bible that many times there was instantaneous miracles, but many times more there was those that worked for their harvest? I watered and I cultivated. How many times? You answer me. How many times? How many times do you water and cultivate a crop? What it takes. There you go. There's the answer. What are you believing for? And what have you given up on? Ooh. So you didn't keep at it as much as it took, or you wouldn't have given up. Well, Stan, are you telling me that if I stick with it, that's what I'm telling you? I don't care what it is that you've taken to God. I don't care what it is that you've talked to God about. If you stick with it, you're going to get it. Ooh, I got out on a long plank then, didn't I? How long? Long as it takes. Look at that. Well, I'm believing God. I'm just about to give up. Well, now, wait. I thought you told me as long as it takes. You know what you said? Eric, you're going for that degree. What if you didn't make it in 4 years? Long as it takes. There you go. Why? Because I want the degree. Come on. Yep. To receive a harvest, you have to do this. You have to see the end before you begin. You remember the rope I talked about to get an expected end? It has to tie two things together. Y'all missed it. Here's what we think. We think when God says, I have an expected end for you, that means if I just take off, I'll run into the end. Nope. I said the end ties the beginning to the end. So you have to make a declaration. You have to make a planting. You have to make a decision. Or therefore, there will never be an end. So I have to see an end, and then I back up and begin. That's what I want, so this is what I have to do. I just described to you all the things we have to do. That's number one. Number two, I must believe that I can get to the end. How many of you start something a lot of times and you don't really believe you can get there? Come on. Come on, man. That's right, come on. You got to believe that you can get to the end. Or don't even bother to begin. Well, Stan, yeah, I know, there's a lot of buts. The but is not the end I'm talking about. See, if you have enough buts, you've already found all the end you're going to find. Richard caught that. Sometimes it helps to be blind, don't it, Richard? You catch it quicker. I'm telling you. I don't need to say it again. You got it down. There's no but end. There's an end. I'm telling you. When I tell you that I'm going to believe for healing, I'm going to believe for this, I'm going to believe for that, there cannot be a but or an if. It means that I'm going to get there no matter what. I've got to believe it. And I'm going to tell you, only God can help you believe past you. That or extreme ego, and that won't work either. Number three, here's a good one. I must believe that I had the right to get to that end. Not that I can do it, but I have the right to do it. Y'all believe Jeremiah 29:11? I can give you. I'm going to give you more. But I'm telling you, every scripture in the Word is yours. If you're a child of God, every promise. And you've got to be able to lock onto that and say, it's mine, and by Jesus, I have the right. You don't say for the hell of it. You say for the kingdom of it. Yeah. Amen? For the hell of it means, oh, who gives a rip? God cares.
Right.
That's why I care. That's why we should get into it. Number four, work as long and as hard as it takes to get that end. As long and as hard as it takes to get to that end. Now, long and hard work doesn't fit some of you in here. I'm not even going to look. I'm not going to look. But I'm telling you, God is a good boss. He's a good partner. You know why? One of the things he'll do is say, don't sleep all day. Get up. We got things to do. He'd say, what do you mean going out there to do that work? You haven't read the manual enough. You get them to read that manual a little while and then we'll go out.
That's right.
Isn't that what he does?
Yeah.
And then when we forget, we have a promise that says he reminds us. I don't see if we can get a much better deal. Number five, we have to be able to fight for that end. Okay, some of you passive Christians, fight! I use the word fight. I used it on somebody last night, right in front of some of y'all. You want to make peace, we'll make peace. You want to make war, I will stand on you. Hey, some of you are here. Did you hear me say that? That man was bigger than I was, wasn't he? I don't care. I have a right to an end. You want to make war? Ha ha, let's go. I know what my expected end is. Do you know what yours is? Do you know that my word says to me, my God, my boss, my partner says, no weapon formed against you will prosper?
Right.
I think I can expect.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Fight for that end. Number six, take that end. Let nothing talk you out of it. Hey, can I upset your apple cart a little bit? Can I just challenge you just a second? I know that you've been taught all your life that God's going to give you everything. He gives you salvation. He gives you healing. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Gene, here's the book. I give you the book, Gene. Gene, I'm giving you the book. That's what most of us say. I'm telling you, we serve a God that intends us to take. He made us takers, and don't you be ashamed of it. When Jesus paid the price, it was free to this point. I have now bought, Jesus said, I have bought this bottle of water. It's free to all who will take. That's what's said. Now guess what you got to do? I'll tell you what God's not going to do. He's not going to take this and beat you over the head with it until you finally open your mouth and He pours it down your throat.
Right. Right.
It will not happen. If that's what you're waiting on, that's why this part is bigger than some of the rest of you. Don't mean to be mean. God, help me. I don't need to be that way. Take that end. Let nothing get in your way. Let nothing talk you out of it. Remember what I told you about the cotton and the marijuana? The man planted the harvest. Some of it was taken because he wasn't on guard. Let me tell you what you also have. You don't have a faithful friend in God. You also have a faithful enemy in Satan. Got a faithful enemy. He's always trying to kill, steal, and destroy. He does it through situations, circumstances, accidents, on purposes, friends, enemies, relatives, light, dark, everything he can touch, he tries to talk you out of your end. I could have really made this an X-rated. I really could have done a good job on this one. I have to stay away from it. If you give up, if I had given up at any one point in that year-long effort, I would not have gotten the harvest. Well, you'd have gotten a little. Nope. I wouldn't have gotten the harvest. If you give up, what does that mean, Stan? That means that if I'm truly out there, I've got to be stronger than the birds, stronger than the worms, stronger than the weather, stronger than the heat, stronger than the cold, stronger than the hurricanes, stronger than the tornadoes, stronger than the next door neighbor, stronger than everything that's out there. Now you see, God's not interested in weaklings because He knows the harvest is not going to come through. What He knows for sure is those people are going to have to be assigned to people that are stronger than them so they can take care of them. Y'all want to be taken care of? That's good. That's good. Let me talk to you about God's promises and His plans for you. Got your pen ready? I'm going to read them to you, but I want you to write these things down. You can look up and see if I'm lying to you. Do you know men can lie to you? Come on. You can say that about me. I can lie to you. But the Word of God will not lie to you. That's why we're going to talk about some of it. Here's the plans and promises that God has for you. Remember He said an expected end? His thoughts? He wrote down some of His thoughts. He didn't just say, you can read my mind. He actually took a pen and wrote down some of His thoughts for us. Look, we know that His thoughts are sure. His plans are sure. Hebrews chapter 6, 11, verse 11 through 16. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Man, this is how strong God has His plans for you. I swear to you, the only thing I can swear is by myself. And if you find out I'm lying, I'll kill myself, God says. Right. If I ever lie, I have to destroy myself.
Right.
Verse 14, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise.
Amen.
So it takes away the... See, I've raised some corn. I've never seen 5-minute corn. You guys are driving up in cars and they're not 5-minute cars. It took longer. Are you hearing me? We got this 90-day warning. 90-day corn. They consider that a miracle. 90-day corn. Some of you can't spend time 10 minutes with God, much less 90 days trusting Him for something. God, I'm hungry. I got to have it today. Well, in 90 days you will. Because you're just now getting around to planting. And I don't change my laws for you. You know the law of seed time and harvest? I don't change them for you. I've given you promises. I've given you tools. I've given you ability. I've given you faith. Do you know God even gave you the faith to believe what I'm telling you this morning? That was a gift from God. God gave you the faith to believe this. But He's got to require something of you. His plans and His promises, they're great. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now I'm going to tell you something right off the bat. God put strings attached to life. If you want life, you've got to be godly. I didn't say if you want a thumping heart. I said if you wanted life, it's attached to godliness. Everything else is death, sadness, destruction. To us, to all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, the only way we're going to get it is the knowledge of Him, who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That through these great and precious promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, that's... You know, come on. Come on. You know what? Stand up just for a second. Stand up just for a second. Do like this. Go like this. Oh, feel better now. Sit down. You missed this one. I know you missed this one. Listen to me again. There's a formula here that's far beyond anything we've ever caught. Listen to me. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, what else is above all things? Okay. Here's how you get it. Through the knowledge of Him who called us. Number four. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. How are you going to get this? You're going to have to believe the promises. That through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You do not have to be a part of the corruption. Part of the corruption is that your mind has been corrupted. You've been lied to. You've been told by pastors, priests, and kings all kinds of rules. God never told you those rules. He said, I gave to you that nature to desire that. I gave you the ability. I gave you the promises. Didn't you read that? Come on, didn't you catch it? You may be partakers and escape the corruption. That's pretty big, isn't it? I hope you all got how big that is. Listen to me. His plans and His promises are forever and they're for all. Genesis 9, 8 and 9. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. How many of you know that we're all in the same family? There ain't nobody past Noah. Everybody in here came from Noah. You want to know what your lineage is? Noah. You know what your religion is? Noah. You want to know what your color is? Noah. You know what your covenant is? The one that was given to Noah. You want to be Jewish? Noah. You want to be Gentile? Noah. We've got to tear down the goofy ideas that have been taught you. Just remember, we share a same great, 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 great grandpa. Right. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 7 through 10. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, that you were prettier than any other people, that you were smarter than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. He's encouraging you now. You're just the least of everything. Now that I got you all built up, let me keep talking to you. Number 8, because the Lord loves you. He set His love on you because He loves you and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Number 9, therefore know this, that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. There's the work. You're part of the 1,000 generations. You're also part of the ones who have to love Him and keep His commandments. Well, that's too hard. We just read a scripture that says it's easy. It said He gave you the ability to do that. His plans and His promises, it takes diligence. Deuteronomy 29:9. Therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. Are you interested in prospering in all that you do? Anybody else besides Him interested in prospering in all that you do? Look at this. Deuteronomy 29:9. This is an expected end that God has tried to give you. Listen. Therefore keep the words of this covenant. Remember what I told you? You've got to have a beginning. See, if you don't know the words, you don't have a covenant. Begin with the covenant. Learn the words. Keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. Well, of course, God didn't mean all. He just put that in there so He could drag us in. Once we get in there, He puts in all the extras. No, you and I do that. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. We do not have to look for fine print in the Word of God. Hallelujah. God's plans and promises. Here's the rough part. Are you listening now? You're going to believe in something. And you're going to get an expected end from somebody. No decision is a decision. No decision is a decision. If you don't make a decision about that child, I will explain to you the end that's going to happen. It's obvious to everyone. If you don't do your part, there is an end that's coming. We're just trying to find out what God's expected in. But let me tell you about the law of seed time and harvest, the one He wrote and He's not changing. Jeremiah 11, verse 3. Jeremiah 11, verse 3. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant. Well, Stan, I said cursed. The expected end is cursed. Well, what are you saying? Everybody that doesn't believe in God is cursed? Yeah! Hey, maybe I didn't get up here high enough. I'm up here high enough. Can you see me? Bold-faced, my face hanging out here. I'm not apologizing for anything. You don't obey God's Word, you're cursed. You need to yell to the world. If you don't obey God's Word, you're cursed. Or if you don't believe that, stop serving God. Stop serving Him. Don't waste your time. God says that lukewarm makes Him sick. I don't want to be cursed. How about you? I want everything that I touch blessed. Isn't that what that said? I got my two choices. Come on, how smart do we have to be? Well, Stan, what if you're wrong? What if there is no God? What if the Word of God is no good? Well, you've risked a good life. That's what you've risked. You've had a good wife and good children and a good life, and people trusted you as an honest person that spoke honest. That's what you risk. If you just go to dirt after that, then you just go to dirt. But what if you're wrong? What if hell is real? What if this Word is real? Man, all of you take out insurance and don't expect a wreck. At least go this way. Well, this is a... How many brain cells do you have to figure this one out? You know what the good part of this? I could be a flamed out, burned out drug addict, and I bet you I could catch this one. I bet you. I bet you I could make it to heaven with most of my brain cells gone if I could just pick up on this. God's plans and promises. Those that have met God, those that know the truth, they will have good. Jeremiah 31:33. This is the covenant that I will make with you. I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Listen to this. This is so good. You want to know what drives people crazy when they don't want to serve God? Listen. I will put my law in their minds. Hey, you want to understand insanity? I will put my law in their minds. How does that explain insanity? You reject God's law with it in your mind and see if you ever have any peace in your mind. If you don't line up with the law that's been put in your mind by God, you are never going to be a sane person. Everything you do, people are going to go, what in the world is it doing that for? You're going to do it. You're going to go down and buy that expensive thingamabob that you couldn't afford, and you're going to go home and say, why in the world did I do that? Because you are not recognizing the law of God that's been put in your mind. The one that's been written in your heart. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. If we turn to the back of the book, it's going to say this. One day, every knee will bow and confess that I'm God.
Amen.
Y'all better look forward to that. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen on that last day. When that happens, those that have decided that God's not all that important, for the first time in their life, when their knee bows, they're going to say, "Oh my God, I was wrong. I spent all my life being wrong." I can't think of anything worse than all of a sudden the picture shows that I spent all my life wrong, believing the wrong thing. God's plans and promises are not all up to us. Here's the cool part, guys. 2 Chronicles 32:8. 2 Chronicles 32:8. With Him is an arm of flesh. With y'all, it's an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us fight our battles. They have to do it by themselves. We have the arm of God. For those that believe, you know why you can be bold in your believing? Because you got somebody a whole lot bolder than you believing with you. It's all God. It's His arm. It's His way. It's His thought processes. But you know what? It's cool to be on the side that's always right.
That's right. Yeah.
Nothing better. You mean, Stan, you're always on the side that's right? Yes, by faith. Yes, by faith. And if I miss it, I got a comforter, a helper, one that sticks closer than a brother that's going to inform me. So no matter what it is, I'm always on the right side because eventually I'll get there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God's plans and promises. We can trust the outcome of each day depending on who we are partnered with. Covenant. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. Wouldn't it be neat to be a Satan worshiper? Wouldn't it be neat for us to have black masses and just know that we serve somebody that kills, steals, and destroys? Boy, now that's wisdom. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." More abundantly than what? More abundantly than I can think or ask. See, now that's a beginning. That's a beginning. And I remember that I can have an expected end, so I tie that together, and my goodness, I don't know what the end's going to be, but the beginning is good. I just read you the beginning. You can't even imagine what the end's going to be. God's plans and promises are not limited to our planning. Now please, I know that all of us have put God in a box. At one time or another, all of us have put God in a box. We've limited to what He can do, and we've limited His thinking to our thinking. I can't go some of these places. I can laugh, though. Are you hearing me? Thank God that I have the ability to release Him, then release me into Him, and go His way, not mine. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we think or ask. That's not me. That's not you. That's Him. He's able to do abundantly. That's bigger than us. More than we can ever think or ask, according to the power that works in us. A partnership we didn't even agree to. Well, I guess I did. Came back out on this one. If I understand that through me, through our partnership, I'm going to do bigger things than I ever thought or asked by His power. You know what we do? We get so rinky-dink. My goodness. When you stand in the presence of God, you realize how rinky-dink we are. You know what we say? Robbie says, "If I can just sell that one car." God says, "How about 100 today? Why don't you get on my side? I don't want to get on yours." Come on. Chuck says, caught you, didn't I? Chuck says, "If I could just get one more good guy," God says, "How about 100? And we'll take on 4 or 5 houses at a time." Come on.
Right.
You know what we do? We limit God to our thinking, our understanding, our mathematics. If I could just go to this psychiatrist, this psychologist, and I can get this right marriage counseling, everything's going to be good. The guy's divorced. He don't know squat. God does. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, according to the power that works in us. I got power in me. You know what I get so sick and tired of? Soft people. I got some power in me. You don't expect me to act soft. Soft power. Okay, whatever you think. Let me tell you what. Don't ask me to fight beside you. If there's a war and I don't want to stand beside no soft person. I want somebody that's tougher and meaner than a junkyard dog and know that he's got some power and ability. And if you come to me, he's going to kill you. Woo-hoo. Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
God's plans and promises. Here's the question. Why is it not working? Y'all want to say that all at one time? Or you just want me to say it for you? Why is it not working? Matthew 13:58. I got your answer. You may not like it, but it's God, so I don't have to take the blame anyway. Matthew 13:58. Now he did not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. Oh, Stan, you could have talked all day and not said that. Well, what did I say? Can I just be flat honest with you? I said if God's not working, God's word's not working in you, it's because of your unbelief. Hey, that's not condemnation. That's information. That's information. Now all we got to do is step up on that information and fly. We got to go. Listen to me. I got another one for you. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Ah, there it is. Matthew 17:19. Matthew 17:19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "You cast them out. Why couldn't we?" Now, Jesus was a lousy pastor. Do you know that? He was a lousy pastor. Because, you know, pastors are supposed to take him in their arms and say, "Oh, brother, we just need to pray a little more. We just need to believe." No, no, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief." Oh, that made him feel better, didn't it? No, but it gave him the truth, and the truth will set them free. That scripture, the truth will set them free. Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed." He's even putting their faith down. He said, "You ain't even got a faith the size of a mustard seed, because if you did, you'd say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Listen to me. How many of you are known by this title? He doesn't think anything's impossible. Come on. Remember that little plaque y'all gave me? You remember the little plaque? You know what that little plaque says? I'll remind you. It says, "Our fearless leader." Remember?
Yeah.
I keep that right there, see, because y'all are encouraging me all the time. You can call those things that aren't as if they are, too.
Yeah.
They become real. You gave me a plaque that said, "Our fearless leader." Now, I'm going to give it back to you. I want you to have the same title. I want you to have that. I want you to be known by your community, friends, relatives, and enemies, that guy walked into a buzzsaw if he believed he was right. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they ran into a fire.
That's right.
They walked right in thinking they were right, and guess what? They were. So what's a buzzsaw? I can take the teeth out of a buzzsaw. What limits us? Our faith. A fool believes that he is able. A wise man believes that God is able. Do you want some surety in your life? The only way that I know that you can be sure about a good ending is a good God. You can be sure about a bad ending. That just comes natural. You just not fight for the harvest and see if you don't get a harvest. Because you see, one thing I found out about the ground, the farm, is if you don't plant, you're going to get a harvest anyway. And it's going to cost you like crazy to clean them up. Do you know a weed drinks more water than a good plant? Did you know a weed will spread faster than a good plant? You just think about it in your own gardens and your yards. You don't fight your grass, you fight your weeds. Same way in your life. You just let back. The Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and then destruction. So the destruction is the weed. Success is the harvest of God, the expected end. Amen? How do I get on this train, man? Well, you got to give your heart to God. Oh, I did that a long time ago. Oh, yeah, if God comes today, He's going to call you by name. He's going to say, I've had a lot of intimate relationship with this person. Or is He going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't know what in the world you're talking about. Which one? Now, if we want to talk about the long-term end, it's heaven and hell. The short term is, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will receive that, or I receive death and destruction. It's those two choices for the moment. How do I get God's plan? Give your heart to God. You've got to read and believe His Word over your feelings. You've got to believe God's Word over your feelings. Can I tell you something? I don't know why it took me so long to figure this out, but can I tell you something? People talk about their heart. The Bible says your heart's desperately wicked. So when you tell me about the feelings of your heart, you're telling me about your wickedness. Oh, my heart. On the heart. Let's talk about God's Word. But if I tell the person that, it'll make their heart hurt. It'll make them cry. Hoo-hoo. Come on, man. They've been backed up anyway. They need to cry. They need to cry. Let them cry. Let it out. Let's go. Let's get real. Let's get real. We can cry later when we're joyfully crying. Let's do some sad crying. Let's get some over it crying right now. Believe His Word over your feelings. Work every moment for what you expect. Work every moment for what you expect. Praise the Lord. Work every moment for what you expect. Now, can I get serious with you just for a second? God told me early this morning that somebody in this place is not going to be here tomorrow. They're going to die. And I cried to God, God, and He wasn't talking about those that are already dead in Christ. See, He can't show me somebody that's going to die if they're already dead in Christ. I'm talking about somebody that's resisting Christ. And for the first time, I felt the heart of Jesus. I cried out, oh God, let it be me, not them. Never had that happen before. Oh God, let it be me, not them. But that's not the way He works. That's not the way He works. I want to warn you, and I don't. People that know me in this place know that I don't play this kind of game. I don't play this game. You see, what I like to do is throw the meat out there and fool you with all the rest of you. I've done my job. Let me go home. I can sleep good tonight. So I don't take you to bed with me. At least I try not. But I'm warning you this morning. With a heavy heart, and when I get through with it, I'm not going to have a heavy heart anymore. I'm going to get it off of my shoulders. God wants. I ask Him, who? I said, God, if You're going to put this weight on me, then tell me who, and I'll go and shake them. I'll go and smack them. I won't let them die without You. And He said, I won't do it. I'm not going to let You do it. I won't do it. I won't force them, and I'm not going to let You to force them. What am I holding this for? There's nothing in here. I'm going to tell you something. I've told you about the expected end, and I've told you what will happen if you don't accept God's expected end. I hope that I'm talking to wise enough people that if this person is you, or there's more than one in here, you need to do something about it now. We have a place right up here that you can pray, that we'll pray with you. But God wants not to destroy, but He wants to set free. He wants to deliver, and He wants to restore. He wants that none should perish. Can you hear me? And He's not just talking about heaven and hell. He's talking about on a daily basis. He wants that none should perish. Can you just be man or woman enough to, without music and without a bunch of arm twisting and all kinds of stuff, that you just do what God wants you to do? Can we do that? If you can't, then I don't know if I want to be part of your family or not anyway. I like a good, strong family. I like somebody, when they find out something's wrong, they take care of it. Come on. Everybody in here, what you're telling me is that everybody in here is ready right now to drop dead. I told you I'm not smooth, I'm just honest. Praise your Lord, Holy Spirit. Praise your Lord. Don't worry about it. It's only eternity. Don't take it serious. Praise your Lord. All right, let me say this. Can any of us pray for you about anything? Anything at all. It doesn't make any difference what it is. There's people that will go to you quickly. If you'll come forward, if you need a prayer. You know, the Bible says about sickness and disease, if there's anything, anybody among you that has these problems, call for the elders of the church. The best way to call is to come up here and show yourself and watch the people come and pray with you. No insult, no condemnation. If any of you right now found out that today you owed a tax bill that you'd forgotten about or you just found out about, would you rush to the place to take care of it? Would you have to pray about it long? Would you have to feel condemnation, or would you just go take care of it? That's what we're talking about here. I can't figure out how we got so mystical in this thing. If God puts on your heart anything at all to pray about, you need to come. Come on, we need somebody to pray. I promised you're going to make me a liar here. I'm telling you, any problem at all, it's what the family's all about. It says, if there are any sick or weak among you, call for the elders. Come. All you have to do is feel a little weak. I'm weak in this area. I'm weak in that area. It doesn't make any difference. We want to meet your needs. We want God to be able to meet your needs. Patrick.
I just, yesterday, early in the morning, and Saturday, the Lord woke me up early for prayer time and put me in the Word and quite a few areas of the Word and spent quite a time before God. And there's something I know, as well as Pastor Stan said that he knew there was somebody in here right now that you won't be here tomorrow. And I know this man. He doesn't play those kind of manipulation games. If he said that, it's because he believes with all his heart the Holy Spirit spoke that to him. I concur. I even believe I know who the person is. But I want to say this to the group that's here because God put it on my heart yesterday to share. In the next few weeks, and you can test this yourself. If this is real, it's real. If it's not, it's not. The next few weeks and months before the end of this year, there's going to be such a change of perception in this nation. There's some things coming we don't foresee. There's some things coming. There's some chastisement coming to this nation, the likes we have not seen in our generation. If this is God, it'll come to pass. If it's not, you've got nothing to worry about. But I want to tell you this. I want to encourage you. Turn to Psalms 91. Trust the Lord God with all your heart. Psalms 121. Isn't God saying right now, beat you over the head? I'm telling you, there is some trouble coming in two areas. I'm going to be specific. The economy. There's something coming to our economy that'll make 1930 look like a joke. It's coming. It's coming this year. If this is the word of the Lord, it'll come to pass. There's something else coming. There's something coming. The enemy, God's going to allow our enemy not to defeat us. Our nation's not going to be defeated in any war. But there's an unexpected end that we didn't plan for about to happen in the next few weeks. For the mightiest military in the world, but there's an unexpected end about to happen. It's not our defeat, but I'm telling you it'll be an unexpected end to something. And when it happens, I want to encourage you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Turn to the Lord your God as families and heads of families. Okay? And that's all I wanted to share with you. And bless you. The Lord loves us all just so much. Yes. He's so good to us. Yes. Now, Pastor, back to you in the prayer time.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Please, if there's a prophetic word that comes forth, don't be afraid. God never gives information to make us afraid. He gives it to make us provision. Not one thing ever happened in this world that God has not made a way out for His children. Are you hearing me? You've got to study the Word to understand what I'm talking about. But we don't care what happens. We care about God. We care what happens with God. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else? Well, God, let me pray this. Father, for those that need a tune-up, give them a tune-up. I want them to be drawn closer to you by this word, in hope, and if necessary, in fear of the loss of you and the loss of relationship with you. Father, give them hunger and thirst after you, after righteousness. Let them overcome their worries and their sicknesses and their diseases by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Let their testimony turn from what they were afraid of to what they expect. In Jesus' name we speak this. In Jesus' name we speak this. Now I'm going to ask one more thing. Are all hearts clear? Are we through today? Are we through today? Then be blessed, be healed, be saved. I don't know what we do now. What do we do now? Yeah, let me remind you and your children, we don't need to bring food into the sanctuary. We've got a nice eating area downstairs, and so that's where we'll keep the food. Y'all be blessed. Let's go take pictures and eat.